quick introduction, so I give our guest speaker as much time as we can. This is our second in a series this month of guest speakers coming in to tell us about local ministries with the hope that God would give us a greater burden for our city and opportunity for outreach. So without further ado, I introduce my brother Brent McDonald. Some of you know him from his in-home museum and some of visitation there, but he's from Cottage Cove. And welcome, brother.
Thank you. God bless you. Well, it's good to be with you. Because you'll be curious because of my accent as I talk, I'm not from Nashville originally. I'm actually from New Brunswick, Canada. And so every time I say outer house or things of that sort, it'll give me away. Are we going to be able to darken the room so that people see, I think? Pretty much everything I'm going to be talking about is going to have images to go with it. And to talk about Cottage Cove Urban Ministries is actually more than just working with children. So I'm going to try and get to as many things as possible as we go along. But one of the things I'm used to doing is taking questions as I go along. In other words, don't wait till the very end and think, I wish I'd asked about something I talked about. Stop me, raise a hand, throw something at me, whatever's necessary. But I'd rather answer your questions as I go along to try and fill in as much as possible about what Cottage Cove is. And the best way to know about Cottage Cove is to actually come and visit. And so I'm going to say that my coming to speak to you is second to that, because I can show you a whole lot of pictures and stuff, but when you come and visit, you really get an idea of what Cottage Cove is all about. For 21 years, Cottage Cove has been in the Vine Hill neighborhood. There we go. Now you can see better. And I can still see you, so still raise a hand, whatever, call out if you need to. For 21 years, we've been in the Vine Hill neighborhood, and that's right by the state fairgrounds. So this location has been at capacity for the last 14 years. By at capacity, we have a waiting list of children wanting to participate. We're at 70 children per day at this location. And that's actually not all of them standing in front of the building. If you saw the building 21 years ago, it was in pretty rough shape, and that has been a work of a whole lot of people to transform the building into what it is today so that it can serve as many kids as possible. And when I say children, we're working with kids that are kindergarten and up. So once you come into our program at age 5 kindergarten, you can be in our program for as long as you wish. It's difficult for many of the high school students to get to us because of busing, things of that sort, but they tend to come during the summer. We have an evening program as well for them. And I'm going to try and keep on track to what I laid out here, and I wrote this out, and my wife will tell you that the reason I had to write this out is because if I get talking about Cottage Cove, I just lose track of time. So if I do run out of time, stop me too. Now, when I talk about Vine Hill, and the area near the state fairgrounds sounds like far away from where you're at right now, but I want to point out that 2 years ago we bought a building in Madison, not too far away from here on Woodruff Street, and we're transforming this into another Cottage Cove. So it's only 2 years old. If you saw it when we bought it, it didn't have the fence around it. It wasn't, the grounds were in horrible condition. And in fact, the first time I visited the property, there was people in it. They were using it as a drug house, and they were doing drugs on the floor in it at the time that we visited it. And so we looked at it and said, this is the neighborhood we want to be in. This is a neighborhood that needs help. And so first thing we did is clean up the building. We often joked about our Vine Hill location that as we cleaned up the property there, we found everything buried in the yard except the body. And I'm talking knives, bicycles, electric frying pan. I mean, all these things buried in the yard. Well, at the Madison location, we can actually tell you we know where the body was. The first building we tore down was the shed where someone had overdosed. And so we're in the neighborhood for the long term, and that's what our goal is as we go into any neighborhood. It's there for the long term. When we went into the Vine Hill neighborhood 21 years ago, the people in the neighborhood had this building there all along, and it had been a church plant. It had actually gone through 3 separate church plants in our original building, and each one of them came and went when the going got tough. And the drug dealers in the neighborhood said, drive them out, break in, steal everything. We had break-ins continuously for the first 7 years of Cottage Cove Vine Hill, as they came in and stole everything they could get their hands on all the time, with the goal that they were going to drive us away as they did the church plants that had been in the neighborhood. And suddenly, 7, 8 years in, they're beginning to realize it doesn't matter what they do to us, we're still there to stay. And then suddenly it started to turn around. Now we have, for that matter, the drug dealers' kids in the neighborhood are in our program. So we have an opportunity to be a witness to them, to help them where they're really disposable to their parents. Their parents could care less about them. And yet, now you'll even hear their parents saying to the other people in the neighborhood, "I'll leave them alone, they're helping the kids." So we don't have break-ins anymore at our Vine Hill location. We've actually become accepted as part of the community. And in coming into this neighborhood in Madison, that's what we're looking to do for the long term as well. By the way, our welcoming gift of moving into this was they stole every air conditioner off the building the day we bought it. So, okay. I could put a whole bunch of graphs and statistics up on screen, and I don't know, some of you might like that, but I don't. Cottage Cove is about the children. It's about those whom we're serving. And this is just a pie graph that shows some of the academics. And if you look at the green portions up here and the yellow, this is how our kids are doing in school. And our goal is to see these kids thrive, and academics is only one part of that. And the longer a child's in our program, if they've been in our program 4 or 5 years, odds are they're on the honor roll. And that's our goal for the academics. But that's only one piece of what we do. For me, the best way to tell the story of Cottage Cove is to tell the story through the eyes of some of the children that have been there that aren't necessarily children now. And to do that, I want to introduce you to Lachey. Lachey Clay is just one of the many hundreds of children that we've had a chance to serve. She came to us in kindergarten. She was an oddity in that she was being raised by a single dad. The majority of our kids are being raised by single moms. And 6 years later, typical to our neighborhoods are semi-transient. People move in and out of them all the time. Statistically, we don't have the kids for more than 4 or 5 years. So we make the most of the 4 or 5 years that you have. In this case, Lachey made it 6 years in our program before she moved out of Nashville altogether. And I was able to keep in touch with her. Facebook's good for that. And she came to visit this last year, and her comment that stood out during her visit was this: "I don't know where I'd be today without Cottage Cove." You see, now she's in university. She's majoring in business. She plans to start her own business. She's going to thrive, and that's what we're all about, is seeing kids thrive. By the way, all these years later, Lachey still holds the girls' record for memorizing scriptures. We don't make the kids memorize scriptures in our program. We have incentives all through our program. And one of the things they can choose to do is memorize scriptures. And if they choose to do that, by the way, 95% of the kids in Cottage Cove choose to memorize scriptures. And it's of their own choice and their own time that they do so. But if they do it, they have to hold to our high standards. Cottage Cove is about the idea that if you hold children to a high standard, they'll rise to it. And so, for example, some of us, like myself, grew up going to church, and you'd have the memory competitions, and you'd see how fast you could memorize a verse, and then you'd forget it 2 weeks later. Anybody else besides me do that? Yeah, okay. And what happens with that is it doesn't give you the long-term memory of that verse. We want the kids, if they forget everything else about Cottage Cove, we want them to remember scriptures. And so with that in mind, to have their 12th verse heard and get a footprint up on the wall for each verse that they're doing, to have that 12th verse heard, they have to be able to recite in any order the 11 verses before it. Fifth verse, you have to do the four before. What did Lachey do? Lachey, in one school year, memorized 64 verses. And today, all these years later, she can still do them. You can just point to any one of the footprints on the wall that another child's doing, and she can still do those verses. Bible study is a big part of what we do. There's really two absolutes in our program. If you're in our program, you're going to be doing homework, you're going to be doing educational things, and you're going to be in Bible study. Those are absolutes in our program. And with that, the idea of studying scriptures is not just a light, fluffy, 10 minutes of a quick devotional. Our goal is to take them through the Bible expositionally. In other words, we're actually going through a book of the Bible at a time. If it takes us an entire year to go through a book, so be it. If it takes us more than a year, if it's the book of Genesis, it takes us well over a year to go through it. And the children learn these books well. They learn the content of them. They learn how they interrelate to the other books of scriptures. They learn things that are associated with that. For example, all of our children know how many books there are in the Bible. They know the names of those books. They learn about the languages, the Old Testament, Hebrew. They learn the Hebrew alphabet. They learn the Greek alphabet. And people often say, inner city kids, they can't do. Sure they can. That's a typical day in the homework room at Vine Hill. Yeah. Now, in our homework room at Vine Hill, you can't have all the kids that are there at the same time in the room, so you actually have to cycle through and have different sessions to get all the kids through. We have currently, right now, 3 full-time staff across 2 locations. This program doesn't happen because of staff. It happens because of people like yourself coming to help us. It takes a minimum of 10 to 15 volunteers a day at Vine Hill, and we'd like to have a minimum of 3 a day at Madison right now, and that needs to increase as well. And I'm going to talk more about Madison as we go along and what's planned for Madison, what we'd like to see happen there. By the way, if you know someone who's looking to be in full-time ministry, we are looking for another full-time staff member to be on our staff as well. One-on-one help makes a big difference. The more one-on-one you can do with any child, the better it is. People often say, how many volunteers would you take? If I have 70 kids, I'll take 70 volunteers. Because think about what you can accomplish with that. And by the way, we do randomly have some days where that happens. We've had some offices where everybody in the offices come in and we have a reading day. And they're sitting with the youngest children, sometimes reading to the younger ones in kindergarten. And the older kids are actually reading to them. And so it's an opportunity to interact with the kids one-on-one. Now, this child has a smile on their face versus the last one. I'll go back to that last one again, too, because when you actually see this expression is very common. But why would somebody be so excited about in reading, for example, or even in homework when they get the homework done? They tend to have this type of smile on their face. It's because they can earn stars. And we have earning all through our program. And the homework stars and the reading stars that they earn actually earn them field trips. And the field trips, people say, well, what would you do for a field trip? Well, let me give you a few examples. Yeah. Pilots who donate the use of their planes and take the kids flying. We've done this field trip 6 times now. And, of course, I have a lot of volunteers who'd like to go on this one. And so they don't know what the next field trip is that's coming up. We're always telling them, you always work to excel no matter what. And then you'll find out what field trip's coming up. And if you have enough stars, you're top of your grade, you have an opportunity to go on these field trips. And I'll put another picture just to show from that same field trip. This one, I mean, these are city kids. They don't get an opportunity to go out in the country and do a lot of things like fishing. And, you know, we've taken them fishing. And another one, this is canoeing the Buffalo River. We've done this one a couple times. We did this one just last year. And again, go out and see wildlife where it's at. Imagine for a moment staff and volunteers trying to keep track of dozens of kids in canoes on a river who have never been on it before. It's a lot of fun. Nashville Predators have blessed us over the years a number of times being able to take kids to games as well. So the field trips vary widely. We're Predators fans and we've got a number of Predators players that have been involved directly with us as well. Let me introduce another student. This is Skyla. Skyla was being raised by a single mom and she came to us in kindergarten and was with us through grade 4 before moving out of the neighborhood, standard to our neighborhood. But she came back to volunteer as a teenager in high school. She came to faith at Cottage Cove and credits Cottage Cove with why she didn't end up in the problems that many of her friends did. Skyla, as do many kids at Cottage Cove, enjoyed being in art because art's one of the things that we do as well. And no, not everything at Cottage Cove is a masterpiece. For other children, making jewelry is their favorite. And beyond art and jewelry, we have many structured classes that start with kindergarten and grade 1. You'll notice something about our building as you see the pictures of it. We try and keep it brightly colored, fixed up nicely. We've always said that if we're going to hold children to a high standard, we have to hold ourselves to a high standard. And to do that, again, takes a lot of people to come in and make this possible. Our building is in use generally every weekday, but even across the weekends. And even on Sunday, we have a church that meets in our building on Sunday. So imagine your building being in use continuously 7 days a week and the type of wear it gets on it and what it takes to keep the building looking nice. And we're, Lord willing, we want to see our Madison location get to that point as well. Right now, it's only during weekdays, but we'd like to actually see something be in there on the weekend as well. Because, I mean, God's blessed us with these facilities, and we want to use them to the maximum. One of my favorite classes is Mad Scientist class. And this is the cure for all the kids that say science is boring. We experiment with everything from electricity to things like dry ice and even weird chemical reactions. And I do have to point out that the intern that's in the picture right here is the farthest intern that we've ever had. She came from Australia to intern with us. And music is another key area in our program. And as always, we're dependent on who we have for volunteers. Why? Out of my three staff, only one plays any instrument. My wife and I, we play good MP3s. Yeah. So that's about as far as that goes. It comes down to having people that can come in with these skills to teach these classes. That was at Vine Hill. This one's at Madison. And this was our first of our guitar classes at Madison. And again, this was a local industry professional, a recording artist, who actually came in to work with the kids. Other classes, of course, include general percussion and very specifically steel drums, which we have a set of. And steel drums, I have to say, takes a lot of practice, and you see the kids working away at that. They have an opportunity to get to go out and actually do some public performances that go along with that as well. By the way, as I talk about this one, this was a practice on this picture for, we do one fundraiser a year, and it's in November, and it's called Open Hands, Open Hearts. And many of our kids have an opportunity to go and actually showcase some of the things that they're learning each year, whether it's in music, public speaking is another big one for us. And we have children that are in grade one and grade two that can get up in front of a group of 200 adults they don't know and do a speech that lasts 10 to 15 minutes. And so if you're interested in seeing some of that, you've got to come to our Open Hands, Open Hearts event in November. I'd like to give you more information on that. I don't have time. I have a table at the back, and it's got my contact information back there and our my cards back there as well with our website address on it. Piano is another one, if we have the teachers for that. And again, that was Vine Hill. This is the first of our setup in Madison. We're actually set up with three keyboards in Madison. And you're seeing Danielle, who is a full-time staff member, the staff member who actually can play an instrument. Now, I'm going to let Jade speak for herself. And like many of the children in our program, she came to us, she was with us for a time, she was gone again. And once again, she had an opportunity to come back later. And so we got talking with her, and I decided to put a mic in front of her and ask her to just talk about the differences that she saw having come back years later from what she experienced when she saw Cottage Cove when she was a younger child. And hopefully the audio will work okay on this. We kind of have this improvised up here. And this is Jade talking about her experience at Cottage Cove.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jade Browning. I attend Hillsboro High School. I'm 17. I'm a senior. I want to attend Austin Peay College in Business Entrepreneurship and Marketing. And I have been attending Cottage Cove since the third grade.
We are at Cottage Cove.
We're at Cottage Cove.
Yeah.
This is what we do outside.
Oh, yeah. That's me, Jade Browning. Okay, some things that went on in the program that I really liked was dodgeball. That's the first time I had ever experienced anything with dodgeball. It's the first time I ever played it. I really enjoyed myself, getting revenge at some of the people who were not nice to me at school. There was playground at the time. It's really changed, too. The playground used to be much smaller, but now they opened up the back, the fields. They got tire swings, they got swings, seesaw, slide. We didn't have any of that when I was going I'm actually really glad at the progress. I don't even remember this being a room. The walls weren't painted. Well, yeah. I remember my cross-stitch class, too. I enjoyed doing that. Helped me learn how to sew, which it comes in handy now because I do hair, you know, sew-ins and stuff. I remember that some people went to on-field trips because they got enough stars. I didn't go personally because probably I was not putting in too much effort on my homework. I just wanted to get to dodgeball or get to the playground. But, yeah, if you gained enough stars, you could go on field trips. I remember cooking class because I like to eat. Let's see. I remember lost free time, too. I spent a good amount of time in there. That's a memory. It's not a good one, but it's a memory. If you were quiet, like you see everybody talking and snickering and stuff like that, you could do this right here, and if you get somebody to notice you, they'll be like, bonus token for Jade. I'd be like, yes, bro, I just earned a bonus token. A lot of the Bible studies are more interactive. They get kids out of the audience to play certain parts, so it wouldn't be just like you're sitting in getting lectured and stuff like that. Summertime. I remember coming here in summertime. I was glad Cottage Cove was not closed because it's such a fun program. And Wednesday was Water Day. And for Water Day, you have to bring a bathing suit, a t-shirt to go over your bathing suit or swimming trunks, and a towel. I remember the water slides. I remember water balloon fights. It was just so many good activities. I just round of applause for whoever made it, whoever thought of this stuff. I remember memory verses. I enjoy doing memory verses. I remember if you complete a whole page, I believe, you get bonus tokens to spend in store. It was like boys against girls, and whoever had the most memory verses or said the most memory verses, there would be like footprints on the wall. And I remember like we would be competing constantly, and whoever had the most footprints and stuff would have a party. First graders and stuff start memorizing memory verses so y'all can win for the girls. We had piano classes that I did. Really enjoyed that. I believe I was in a voice class. The God's Not Dead music video, I was in that, I remember. I had on a white turtleneck and two ponytails, and yeah, it was kind of embarrassing, but I remember that. Over time, I became friends with them. They're really cool people. Like, they're just like, you know, friends to me now. I feel like I kind of have a family here. Like, this is great. You know, like, if I don't have any... Oh. And yeah, I know that they'll accept me here. I don't feel like an outcast. You know, I have friends here. I'm not isolated or nothing. There's always somebody I could come here and talk to. Also, I remember in the sixth grade, I was having some problems, and I was able to talk to a volunteer, and they were able to help me through some of my problems. I don't want to say them. But yes, they were. I feel like I can trust the people here. Cottage Cove is so different from all the other aftercares I've been to. There's more activities, it's structured. Like, I remember we would do this from this time to this time, this to this time, as other aftercare programs or after-school programs. It would just be like you come in, you play, you eat, you get picked up. But, like, when we came in, we sat down, did prayer, and then, like, they separated by grades. This grade would do Bible study. This grade would do like playground activities and stuff. This grade would do homework if you had homework. The other aftercare programs, after school programs, they didn't really even ask us if we had homework. I remember I didn't like going to homework because you'll have to, you know, you couldn't do activities until you were finished, but I always remember I will always get help. They'll always check my work, give me stars. They really helped me to learn, too, like helped me to understand problems in school. People skills. I've learned, like, really good people skills. You know, when you're volunteering here, like what I've done volunteering here, you get to, you know, work with a lot of children, and it gives you – it helps up on your patience skills, because I know sometimes I was tired. But, you know, just seeing the faces on the children and how happy they were and stuff, and I imagine myself in their same position. It also makes me happy too. To all the people who are going to invest in Cottage Cove, you're putting your money to a great, you're putting your money to a great cause. You're helping kids. Thank you, everybody, for your time. Thanks for listening to me. My name is Jade Browning. I go to Hillsboro, 17, Austin P, Business Entrepreneurship and Marketing.
My name is Jade, and I'm at Cottage Cove. That's it.
As you can see, there's a lot of personality there. introduce you to another student. This is Kenny. He also started Cottage Cove while in kindergarten and was being raised by a single mom. And we really saw him grow up. I mentioned an evening program. It's called C4. And even in his teen years, he continued to be part of our C14 program. It's an evening program that's designed to be separate from our children's program, focused on the teens and give them an opportunity to get there because they couldn't get there after school. And by the way, this is one area that we do need extra help in. We have not been able to start C4 up this fall because we don't have enough help to actually make it happen. And it's something that we feel really important because it allows us to stay involved with the teens all year long, not just during their breaks and during the summer as well. And a lot of people think, I don't want to work with teens. You will find that these teens are very respectful. They've grown up through our program. They know how to interact properly. They know how to be respectful of authority and to interact with adults. And so it's something, if you're called to or interested in doing this, we'd love to have you talk with us about this one in particular, because it's definitely a need that we have right now. These teens love to have fun, but they also are eager to learn. This is honestly the hardest program we have for getting volunteers for. And I hate to say it, most people are scared of teenagers. So, Kenny loved to read as a child, and he often was carrying his own Bible to Bible study. And amongst the kids, that's not that often you see that, but Kenny was one of those ones that just took joy in the fact that he was able to get a Bible through our reward store, and he brought it every day for Bible study. And we put a high emphasis on reading. The image up on the screen is actually a reading rally that goes on. The Executive Women International every year comes in and actually provides books to a group of our kids and reads with them. And it's an opportunity for them to have a unique book that they get to take home. We also have a full library at our Vine Hill location. And this has been just a donation of a book at a time. When I got to Cottage Cove, by the way, I haven't been at Cottage Cove for all 21 years. A friend of mine, Tom Shoemate, started Cottage Cove. And during those years, my family was part of an itinerant ministry where we lived and traveled on the road. My family grew up, my two sons in particular, thinking it was normal to be in a different place every week. And we were anywhere in North America for 10 years. And during that time, back in the first years that Cottage Cove was getting going, it became one of our regular stops, and we came to help Cottage Cove as get going. And when Tom Shoemate, the founder of it, left 7 years ago, the board asked if I would come, and so I've been there for about 14 and a half years. But when I got to Cottage Cove, at that time, we had the equivalent of two shelves of books. Now this entire room, all four walls, is covered with books, and it's just a donation of a book at a time. We loan the books out. The kids can take them home. Do we lose books? Sure we do. Beyond just the children in our program, during the summer it's open that anybody in the neighborhood can come and actually check out books, because we have no public library near where we are. And the nice part of it is, for the summer reading program for the school, we get to put out books for that as well, and we can put out Christian books where they can't. So this room is the start of the library in Madison. If you saw this room before we actually started to renovate it, it was a mess. When we bought this building, it was in rough shape. We thought all we'll have to do is patch some walls and we can make this work. Well, when we started to patch a few walls, we ended up opening those walls because of some things that we found, and we found out that there wasn't one complete stud in two of the walls. So we functionally ended up having to rebuild this entire room, and this is as it was getting completed on the main structure, and this is what it looks like with shelves in it now. And this room could be ready to go if we had some people that were willing to come in and do some sanding and then a whole lot of varnishing. We actually have all of the books to fill these shelves. We had a donation of an entire library worth of books that are sitting in boxes just waiting to be used. So the Madison area could again have us as an operational library. And yes, there is a public library not far away, but again, the kids that we serve often don't have an opportunity to get there, where if they're in our program, they can pick up books and take them home. We also have a lot of different games, and Kenny enjoyed games, and you'll hear that come up when they talk about it. Many of our games have learning built into them, and in a way that the kids don't realize that they're learning something. And I'll mention this one. I didn't put it in my notes, but this game is called Crokinole. Anybody ever heard of Crokinole before? Oh, I got two people. Wow, okay. It's a Canadian game, and go figure, I'm from Canada. So because of that, brought this game along. But again, there's strategy with it. There's math. You have to do adding, things of that sort. So there's incentives through all of our stuff to actually be learning and having some fun while they're doing that as well. And again, you'll notice something that shows up anytime you see a picture of kids with games, you'll see an adult in the picture as well, because we want to have supervised activities for all the things that we have going on at Cottage Cove. Playground, which is mentioned by Jade in particular. Kenny loved to be on the playground. The playground's been a work in progress. The playground at Vine Hill, we kind of built it a piece at a time. As we got a donation of a piece of pipe or whatever, we used that to actually turn it into a workable playground. And with playground, you learn social skills. You learn how to interact with your peers. These are all things that many of the kids don't have the opportunities to do, because school doesn't have as much of that anymore, that non-structure, just getting out there and having to problem solve to be able to play a game or to do something together. So whether it's swings, and in this case, on this playground, we actually have two tire swings. We like to put a tire swing up at Madison. It's one of the most popular things that we have. It's very old school, but it works. To the slides, as I mentioned, pipes to crawl through. And Vine Hill, we even have a self-propelled merry-ground. Used to be in a lot of the parks, and they took them out of the parks because people would spin them too fast and get hurt. Well, we have a speed governor on ours, so you can spin it as hard as you want, and it won't go any faster than we want it to go. And so lots of fun activities like that. Our Madison location, not so much yet. This swing set we got up last year, and that was only the second activity on our playground up there. So we're up to two workable activities at our Madison location. But notice the volunteers helping to set up this swing set. Again, if it comes down to staff, we can't get these projects done. There's not enough of us. We're involved in every day just trying to keep program going. So it takes a lot of volunteers to come in and actually make this type of thing happen. I said this was the second thing we got at Madison. The first activity is Gaga. Have you heard of Gaga before? A few people? If you've gone to a camp, camps are one of the ones that had this. Gaga means hit in Hebrew, and it's Israeli dodgeball. And we did this one in Madison, and a number of the kids from our Vine Hill location had an opportunity to hear about it. How? Because we did some field trips together with kids from Madison and from our Vine Hill location, and they, of course, are comparing what they have at the two different locations, and all of our kids at Vine Hill went, "When are we getting that?" And so this summer we actually added one to Vine Hill as well. We have at our Vine Hill location a rock climbing wall. And I'm going to emphasize this one for a moment. One of the things that we added in 2 years ago at our Vine Hill location is that the kids were getting longer and longer time in school. It varies per every school in the district. But the school that was nearest to us at Vine Hill, their school day starts at 7:30 in the morning, and those kids don't get done school till 3:45 in the afternoon. And that's kids in kindergarten through grade 4. They don't have much of a life beyond being in the classroom, and then they were often being weighed down with homework. And suddenly they began to realize that the kids needed more activities. They needed some of the things that we have as part of our program. And the school asked us if we would provide enrichment classes for the school. Join Friday afternoon, teachers with their students bring their students to Cottage Cove, and we get to put on the school program for Friday afternoon. And of course, we are an overtly Christian program. That's one of the things that's very clear. If you're in our program, we are a Christian program. They came to us a few months into it and said, well, we really want you to downplay a couple of these aspects and we want you to do this. And I said, we'd love to provide these programs. We know it's beneficial to the kids, but we are what we are and we will not change that. So it's your choice if you'd like to be involved with our program as it is or if you choose to not be in it. The school went back and considered it and came back and said, keep the program as it is. One of the other things, you know, Kenny enjoyed rock climbing, because I'm still talking about Kenny as I go along. Kenny also got to be involved with looking after our fish. And we have a massive fish tank. This is 350 gallons of water. It weighs more than 2 tons. We had to reinforce the bedrock underneath of it to support it. The glass of the tank empty is 800 pounds. When we renovated the building 5 years ago to put this tank in, before that we'd had a bunch of smaller tanks. And we decided we were going to put this one large tank in. And a company right near Nashville made us the tank. And they said, but you got to come get it. So how do you move 800 pounds of glass empty? Well, we're always about getting creative. And with the idea of some volunteers that were helping us on it, we actually got one of the things for moving a casket from the funeral home. And it does work. You can move a fish tank with that. What do the kids do? They all want to feed the fish. But to feed the fish at Cottage Cove, you have to earn the privilege of doing that. And then you find out that there's work that goes along with that. And then that becomes one of your assigned jobs. That being said, I've never had a child who's earned that privilege that's ever declined it. They've continued to do it for as long as they're at Cottage Cove. So what do? They clean the glass, they feed the fish, they change water on the tanks, they do the work to keep the tank going. And this is one of the things that they take pride in as they do that. Now, I'm going to stop Kenny's story here because it's a reminder of the neighborhoods that we serve and our need to make the most of the time we have with these kids. Remember I said, statistically, 4 or 5 years is all we have the kids. And I want to point that out. In all the years Cottage Cove has run, we have never had one child make it all the way from kindergarten through graduation in our program. They've all moved in or out. The closest I ever got, her name was Erica, and I don't have her picture to put up. But Erica made it from kindergarten through halfway through senior year before she moved to Ohio. That's the closest we've ever got. So you make the most of the time you have. And with Kenny, it's a reminder to make the most of the time we had with Kenny. He stayed involved. He stayed involved with many things, from being a young child all the way through the C4 program. He graduated last year, scored very high on his ACTs, and he was going to university, and he never got to go. He was shot dead one block from Cottage Cove this last year. Why? He witnessed a drug deal that went wrong. It's still the neighborhood that we live in. It's still the neighborhood that we work in. And this is the reason why we make the most of the time we have with each of these kids for as long as we have with them. People often say, what's it take to get involved with Cottage Cove? Whether as donors, because it takes resources and finances to make it happen, or hands-on volunteers, it doesn't matter. All it takes is a heart for providing a safe place of learning and love. By the way, people know about Cottage Cove as being a safe place, even kids that aren't in our program. And I'm going to tell you a story, because our neighborhood has gotten better, even the Vine Hill neighborhood. Part of the goal of being there for 21 years is to make the neighborhood a better place. So I'm going to back up to a story when the neighborhood was even rougher than it is now. And in those days, we would again have people that would volunteer to come and do things to even to make the building look nicer. And I had a church that had never been involved with Cottage Cove. And they called me up and they said, on Sunday afternoon, would there be any possibility we could come by and plant flowers in front of the building and things of that sort? And I said, sure, let's do that on Sunday afternoon. So Sunday afternoon they were there, and many of them had their toddlers and their young children with them, and they're playing on the front yard of Cottage Cove. And all that's going on. And I see two young teens running up the street. And they run onto Cottage Cove's property, And one of them I knew just a little bit. He'd not been in our program. The other one I didn't know at all. And he said, "Mr. Brent, can we stay?" And I said, "Tell me why." And they said, "We're being chased by somebody with a gun." And I said, "Of course you can stay." I reached in my pocket, dialed Angie, my wife, on the phone, and I said, "It's a good time to call the police." And seconds later, a guy with a gun comes running into the yard from around the house that's next to us. And I stepped between him and the two guys, and I said, "You will not come on this property." And it's a complete bluff, because I have absolutely no way to stop him. And he stops. And he backs up and walks off the property. And you have one of those moments like, whew. And at that point, he's calling and he's saying, "Well, tell those guys to come out here." And I said, "No, they're here. This is a safe place." And see, they knew they could come to Cottage Cove because it's a safe place. That's one of the things that we tell all of the kids in the neighborhood. This is a safe place. And so I thought he had left. And then come to find out, he'd gone around the back of the building. And he tried to come on the property from a different direction. And I went running towards him. And he turns around and he starts to run away from me. And there's that moment in your head where you're thinking, "What am I doing?" And suddenly he stops and he turns around and he holds his gun out point blank and he's a distance of maybe 15 feet away from me. And he says, "You back off." And of course I stopped. And he pulled the trigger. Only then did I find out that the gun that he had that was very real looking, it looked like a 9mm, had no markings on it, that it was a pellet gun. And he hit me with a pellet before taking off running. Yeah, I'll tell you, that'll wake you up. But at the same time, it reminds us that even kids who didn't know Cottage Cove, had never been our program, knew it's a safe place. And that's what we try and provide for all the kids in the neighborhood. This is a group that came in to help us at Cottage Cove Madison. And we have a program called Discipleship Training Institute, and it's where we have teens and adults that actually come in and help us, and they come for a week-long program, and it's a big part of what we do at Cottage Cove as well. And they get to, again, many times have almost one-on-one, particularly when they're at the Madison location with the kids, and many times you have large groups of men. Some of people from your church have had an opportunity to come to my private museum. That's part of our Discipleship Training Institute. And in the few minutes I have left, I'm going to try and fill in some of the other aspects of what Cottage Cove includes as well, because it sounds strange that I have a museum and it's part of working with kids. But one of the things you need to know about Cottage Cove is Cottage Cove was started, as I said, by Tom Shoemate, who was involved in a ministry that was teaching and doing apologetics. And when he felt it was time for him to leave Cottage Cove, one of the things the board looked for was someone to come in and take over Cottage Cove with the same idea of being teaching-based and still doing apologetics. And that's the ministry I was involved with in Canada for all the years before. And that got rolled into Cottage Cove as well. So the historicity of Bible events, Bible lands, archaeology, biblical archaeology, that's all part of what I do and continue to do. And that's all part of Cottage Cove as well, which also means that when I'm doing Bible study with the kids, many times I'm actually bringing in artifacts. I'm bringing in things from the Bible lands. I'm bringing, if you, and by the way, this is an open invitation to all of you. Can't come all at once because my museum's too small. But if you would like to actually see things from the Bible lands, if you'd like to see things, I often say, what's the oldest thing you've ever held? And most people think an antique in this country is 100 or 200 years old. I have articles that are older than Abraham. I have a cuneiform tablet from before the time of Abraham. I have things from the Roman period. I have things from the time of Jesus, from the apostles, from the different lands that the apostles did their ministry in. And if you want to come and see these things and hold them, my museum's different because I often say it's no fun when you go to museums, they don't let you touch anything. And so if you want to have an opportunity to come and hold these things, you can do that as well. And I'd have to do that in small groups because it's just a room in my house and it's set up. I've packed 25 people in that room at one time and it's a little bit like sardines in a can, but it does work. So if you're interested in coming to see that, one of the other ways, and I have groups that come from all over the country to do our Discipleship Training Institute in the summer in particular. And one of the groups that's in this picture actually came from Texas. And We've had a local group from Gallatin this year that actually came and did this as well. So it doesn't have to be from far away, but it's a week-long program where it's all apologetics training in the morning and teaching, and in the afternoon it's working with the kids and it's putting that knowledge to use in a practical way. And the two belong together. Local groups, of course, help make a lot of things happen. That whole fence that they're standing in front of was because of a whole lot of people coming to volunteer to do that. We had to bury pipelines at Madison, and that was all dug by hand all the way around the building at one point to a 3-foot depth. And again, just ways to get involved. Some people say to me, I really don't want to work with kids. Is there a way to get involved? Sure, I always have other things. In fact, one local contractor, a businessman, he never had any kids. And he said, I don't like kids, but I can come and help kids. And he did. And for all the years until he retired, and he's now moved out of the state, but until he did, every week he was there helping kids without necessarily liking kids. The Madison location, you saw one of the pictures with it all nice and white and things of that sort. When we renovate our buildings, you saw the Vine Hill building that's all looking really nice and the room that had the fish tank, things of that sort. When we get a room done, we get it done completely. In other words, we tear off that entire room and rebuild it completely. Only one room at Madison is completely done, and this is the room that was done a year ago in the summer. And let me show you what can happen with enough volunteers involved. This is 2 weeks later. 2 weeks later, a new corner on the building completely. And then, a few months later, because it took a long time to get the right volunteers to do drywall and painting and making counters, the inside of that room then looked like this. And now that it's finished and operational, that's at Madison. And so the other corner of this room on the left-hand side is actually the area set up for doing music. Many of the rooms serve multiple purposes. And again, ways to get involved. All of those computers on the wall aren't because of a corporate donation. That's because one family said, you need computers in this lab? And we said, yes, we did. And they said, we can do this. And one family bought all those computers for us. And give you perspective. That's Madison. This is our Vine Hill lab. And same basic idea. What do we use the computers for? Of course, the kids all want to go in and play games. That's only occasionally. We actually have it set up so that we can do educational programs on those computers. And so learning phonics and reading and math and all those skills, that's part of the regular rotation of what's done on those computers. We have a food partnership with Publix restaurants, or Publix grocery stores, pardon me. We have a few restaurants, a few twice daily stores that provide us some things as well. But trying to feed the kids is a big thing. We do a snack every day with the kids, and so any donations that we can get of food items, particularly healthy food items, go a long ways for that as well. With Publix, we get enough from them on a couple days a week that we actually have food that the families get to take home, and nothing ever goes to waste. Across from our Vine Hill location, we have a tower where everybody that lives there cannot work because of physical or mental disabilities, and all of the excess that we have after we've provided for the families we directly care for goes to the tower and gets used as well. This is trying to feed a whole pile of kids in one room. In our program in the summer, we do breakfast and lunch every day all summer. During the school year, Tuesday and Thursday evenings, we often do a full dinner meal. And so it takes a lot of people just to make that happen as well. Water Day got mentioned by Jade. And we have one day in the summer where the goal is for the kids to be able to have fun and get wet. And it takes a lot of people to supervise it, just even to set up and get things ready for it. Both of those water slides, by the way, as of this summer, we do not have water slides. They survived for almost 8 years, and both of them have collapsed, so we cannot use them any further. So we've got to come up with a plan between now and next summer of ways to keep the kids engaged and wet when it's really hot. By the way, you don't have to be Miss Murfreesboro to come and volunteer or help with a class, but this last year she did. And, you know, just to show you other things, a few years ago, and this goes actually, well, 10 years ago now, that sounds like a few years, but 10 years ago I was walking through one of the rooms, and as executive director, I end up doing a little bit of everything. It depends what needs to be done. Sometimes that's repairing a toilet, and sometimes it's fixing something that's broken. And I was walking through the room, and one of the little guys who was in kindergarten, he comes over to me, and he goes, "Mr. Brent, what's that?" And I'm looking around for what he was trying to talk about, and I realized he's referencing the hammer that's in my hand. And I had a child in kindergarten who did not know what a hammer was. And at that point, I'm going, you know, I bet you many of our kids haven't had the ability to ever use a hammer to do this. And so what did we end up with? For 8 years, we had a class. A local businessman came in and taught a woodworking class for 8 years. Unfortunately, his work took him out of the area. And so we don't have that class. So again, it's another one that we'd love to put back again, but we're dependent on volunteers to make things like that happen. Another way to get involved with Cottage Cove, we have a board of directors, which is men and women from many walks of life, Christian professionals that are part of the behind the scenes that keep Cottage Cove going. And it takes a lot behind the scenes to keep a ministry that's as diverse as Cottage Cove operating. We do not take government grants or United Way funds, both which come with too many strings or too many restrictions. We were told by government, sure, we will give you money, but you have to take your program apart. You have to say this is a non-Christian aspect of your program and this is a Christian aspect of your program. And the price is too high. We are a Christian program in everything we do. We want to be able to talk about Jesus whether it's in the homework room or on the playground. And so because of that, we are completely dependent on individuals. 80 to 85% of our support every year comes from individuals to make it happen. And even things like that bus that you see sitting in front of Cottage Cove, by the way, we have just the one little bus, and that was a donation from a couple. And I know Mike would be embarrassed for me to say this, but it's Nashville Predators Mike Fisher and his wife Carrie Underwood. And they got involved with us and helped us at a couple of different levels. He wouldn't let me put anything on the bus that actually says that. It just says Nashville Predators Foundation on the bus. But the children at Cottage Cove all know them as Mike and Carrie Fisher. So they, if you say Carrie Underwood, they don't get the association with that. But again, just lots of people getting involved to make it happen. Because we don't have a bus for the Madison location, we don't have a vehicle for transporting. Even some days, because of how many kids we have at Vine Hill, we don't have enough space on the bus for doing it. We provide ponchos, umbrellas for the other kids, and they have to walk, rain or shine. And so there's things that we need to add as we go along with that. Even to have people that are available to help us drive. Sometimes we have the bus available, but we don't have anybody able to drive it. And same thing, no matter what, if it's raining, we end up having to be out walking. We have a reward store at Cottage Cove. And the reward store, nothing costs money, but nothing's free. The kids earn those points and tokens that you heard Jade talking about, where they can actually purchase items. And those are items that they then can take home. And they also learn to be givers, not just takers. We have items that they can buy for mom for a birthday present or Mother's Day, things of that sort, clothing items as well, school supplies, backpacks, all that, that they can get and value because they worked for it. Including sometimes some big items, an item like that game machine or even a laptop. For many families, the only computer they have in their home is the one that the child earned through the store, and they learn to do the banking that goes with that, sometimes saving for 2 or 3 years to have enough tokens or points to be able to buy that item in the store. That's my time. I'm going to stop right there. But I'd love to talk to you more about Cottage Cove. Again, open invitation about the archaeology, things of that sort. Come talk to me and I'll tell you more about how we do that. Because one of the things that I do is I do spend time in the Bible lands. And that means we're over there taking groups. Just a minute, I accidentally hit a wrong button. And I was going to, when we go to do archaeology, well, I'm going to have to shut it down because it locked up on me. Okay, I'll end at that. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to tell you about Cottage Cove.
Thank you.
Thank you.